Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Are you taking care of a parent with dementia? As medical advancements make long life achievable, more and more of us will be. That's because 10 million new cases of dementia are diagnosed each year worldwide. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and today on Family Life's Inside Out, I'm talking with Cynthia Fisher. She's written with experience and grace about her own time caring for her mother. Fisher's a seminary graduate, writer, and curriculum author. Her 2021 Gospel Coalition article that got my attention is titled, "Even Dementia is Not Dark to God." Welcome, Cindy, to Inside Out.
Glad to be here.
I am so thrilled. I am so interested in talking with you because even though this is a heavy topic, it's a topic that's familiar to so many people listening. Dementia can begin early or late, slowly or quickly, as it did with your mother after her stroke. No one wants to think it's going to happen to their parent, but it does happen to many people's parents. So I'm wondering, Cynthia, how do you think adult children can prepare for being called on to serve their parents if this happens?
That's an excellent question. It is very hard to watch a competent loved one lose his or her ability to bathe and dress, to make a grocery list or fix meals. Mm. I mostly crossed my fingers and hoped it wouldn't happen to our family. We didn't have any documented dementia in our family. I just really hoped it wouldn't be what we would experience. I just hoped it wouldn't be something that came our way. If I could do this over, I would sit down with my mom and possibly in the context of discussing someone else we knew with dementia, and I'd ask her what would she like to happen for her if this occurred, and I would work hard not to give her answers. Instead of throwing out scenarios, I would ask her to think about this and ask her questions and wait and listen to her answers. I might say something like, you know, Mom, if you had to experience what your friend is going through, how would you like to be cared for? Mm-hmm. What would help you? And I think some parents will not want to talk about this, but over time, gently revisit that question, and it will not help to get in a fight about it, which is so easy for us to do. Mm-hmm. At another time, I would say something like, my goal for you, and I know you want this also, is to stay in your home as long as you are safe. Mm-hmm. And over time, you're going to need help possibly with laundry or cooking or your yard. And what would you want that to look like?
Yeah.
I wanted my mom to consider what she would want rather than me telling her what she would need, which is really, really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
For my mother, in her situation, she was single. She'd been single for many years. I wish I had acknowledged with her that we would not know how the end of her life would play out. I didn't want to promise that I'd keep her in her home, but secretly I thought I could do that. She has a one-story house. Mm-hmm. She even has a ramp that her grandfather built in the garage. I thought, we can do this. But in the end, it wasn't what was in the best interest of her or for us. In my mother's case, it's rather humorous because every time we did bring this up, she was always convinced Jesus was coming soon and she wouldn't have to die. And that's a wonderful hope, but we need a backup plan. Even Jesus said that only the Father knew when he would return. Mm-hmm. In the end, I knew it would be up to me to lead the way to care for her, and since she was difficult to discuss things like this with me, I certainly kept my fingers crossed, but like I said, that's not a plan. Something else that really helps is to talk to your siblings, and I know this can also be fraught with conflict, but siblings need to admit, together or apart, that someone needs to be living near the parent when things are changing for them. This is the very best way to navigate the later years of their parents' life. I had a mother-in-law who was far away from her family. She was on the West Coast, and the family was in the Midwest, and it was so difficult. And when she needed help, it was immediate, and it was difficult to get there and help her right away.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes for all the issues that come with aging. someone should be around. It could be hiring help for chores and hiring help to check on them. But at some point, they're going to need a family advocate, someone who cares about them more than any of the people they would hire. If you're not in town, and I know it's a huge issue, people work out of town, there are even relational issues, but things are just not going to go so well unless you have someone who is for your parent, visiting them and on top of what's going on with their care.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And my mom at the end was in a care facility, and I was able, gratefully, to visit her almost every day. I'm retired. I could even bring my laptop and do some work because her cognitive and linguistic faculties were so impaired.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there and I was with her, but that was so valuable to me. And I had the church hymnal and I could sing all mm-hmm. these hymns to her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, she would sing with me or hum the tune. And that was just a beautiful, beautiful experience for both of us, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My experience is that long after my mother-in-law was unable to recognize us, if I brought out the hymnal, she was singing sometimes into the third verse of some hymns. You know, that is so deep in the people who have been in the church their whole lives.
Yes, I think research shows that there's a part of our brain that retains the music and tunes and songs, and we can access that often when we cannot access our words.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned siblings' relationships can sometimes be fraught. Not every parent-child relationship is ideal, and sibling relationships are also not ideal. And even in the best relationships, you're in a position where you're both grieving the loss of a parent as you're sitting there right there with the parent who's still alive. And you're also, in addition to this grieving while your parent is alive, you're watching out for their health, their finances, their property, trying to manage your own life and maybe your own children, your own schedule, your own work sometimes. Cindy, how have you seen adult children in this situation do it well? And are there strategies you used or other people that you relied on in the process?
I was very fortunate to be retired at the time and to be nearby my mother, but it was the grace of the Lord that allowed that to happen because we were living far away, three states over when COVID hit, and then we returned and were with her when she was doing well for 9 months, which was such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was caring for her, a gentleman in our church told me that his wife was just so gifted with older people, and she is a nurse. And I connected with her, and the words she said to me about end of life and loving your parent, they encouraged me so much to change my attitude with my mom.
Mm.
And fortunately, this was before she had her stroke, but it was while she was experiencing mild dementia.
Mm-hmm.
That resource was valuable to me, and as mom was in the facility getting care about 5 weeks after her stroke, different friends of hers would come from her church. Actually, a friend came from a church she had left 10 years earlier who hadn't been in touch with her. That person came every Sunday. She was such a gift to me. She also was a nurse, and she acknowledged the medical issues that were going on, and she encouraged me. She'd tell me often to go home, but I stayed because she knew it was hard for me. I asked people for help. I had a good friend I watched go through this, and she's a very competent, energetic woman, and she made extra meals for her mom when she was living at home and did all of this, and that's really hard for most people to do.
Mm-hmm.
We know today in the news how difficult it is to be a caregiver.
Yeah.
The emotional toll, the physical toll, the financial cost of either giving up one's job or pain, outsourcing care, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable. In St. Louis, where I'm from, it's about $27 an hour if you hire a firm to come in the home to care for your loved one.
Oh my.
And sadly, the caregiver's not receiving that much money.
Yeah.
The institution for which he or she works is. Compared to the cost of a facility, that's about four times higher.
Mm.
Than a facility month by month if you had it 24 hours a day. Now, if you compare it with a person helping, volunteering in your home, or one of the siblings, that's helpful, but it's still really difficult. And if that person doesn't show up and you're planning not to be there, you've got another problem. So the church needs to step up and acknowledge this as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we need more education in the church, and we need people who are called and or equipped and trained to minister to families going through this and to the loved one who's there, because they are, even in dementia, I believe that there's things going on in their mind where they have breakthroughs, or they just sense your loving touch mm-hmm. and your presence.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I thought of when I had friends who had a parent with dementia, I would think, I don't need to visit them. They won't remember. And that is not true.
Uh-huh.
You need to visit them. Number one, it helps the caregiver, the loved ones, feel so grateful that you came.
Yeah.
And I think for those few minutes or an hour when you're with them, they are experiencing your touch, your voice,
right.
your presence, and it absolutely makes a difference.
Right.
And third, if nothing else, it ought to humble us to see someone who was once so healthy and vibrant lose all of that and realize that's the human condition. We are not going to live forever. We are creatures, mm-hmm. but we're going to die. And this is what it looks like. In our society, we're very good at ignoring death and not talking about it and not seeing it. And the process of dying is hard. It takes a lot of work. It is often prolonged and difficult. And it's a good thing for us to see that and weave that into our life and our perspective about God's calling for us. Our lives are not forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. Facing that helps us to look even larger at our own lives and what it means to be human. And I love your point about if you're sitting with someone who maybe can't remember your name and at a certain point won't remember your name, that doesn't mean they are not feeling the love that's coming from the person who's come to visit. That they're not
Absolutely.
Feeling that care, even if they have no idea that you're related to them and that they once did know your name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Cindy, for those who are listening who are in the middle of loving a parent with dementia, which can be, as you've mentioned, a tiring and discouraging sometimes process, what words of hope can you offer, and where did you find God present along the way as you were doing this?
I knew that this was my place to be with my mom. Scripture reminds us to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially the widows, and I'd include widowers,
mm-hmm.
and to honor our parents. My mother and I had decades of difficulty. It would come and go, and it was often unspoken, but it was there. And I hoped that we would end better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth was, when she had her stroke, she lost all of her linguistic and cognitive capacity, or most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to hug her, to kiss her, and she couldn't push me away.
Mm.
And I could do that for 14 months, and it was very redemptive to be with her, to sing to her,
mm-hmm.
to have her squeeze my hand. In so many ways, that was the restoration that I needed and probably she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so surprised how much I grieve her absence now. I had no idea that I would feel this way because of the rocky road we had walked.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a gift from God. Sometimes I wonder if the length of her stroke before she died was all for me. It's a puzzle to me because in some ways, and we don't know how God works, in so many ways, it would have been far better for her, just in my mind, if she had had a stroke and died
mm-hmm.
shortly after that. That's what happened to the women in my family, but it didn't happen to my mother. And perhaps in a way, that was really God's gift to me.
Mm.
I don't really know,
right.
but I often think of that. This time is not wasted. God doesn't waste anything. It is extremely stressful for people who are in the sandwich generation, who have children at home and an adult to take care of. The church really needs to see that and minister to all aspects of that. Help with meals at the family level. Allow that caregiver to take a week off and come up with other helpers,
mm-hmm.
especially when this is a long haul. And financially, I think in some ways it is the church's duty to help out with that if it's a legitimate need.
Mm-hmm.
Provide help for this. This is what God calls us to in the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
to love all those in our church, all the generations. And there are plenty of people aging today in our churches that are having so much difficulty. Even if they don't have dementia, they're struggling with taking care of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And what a beautiful time to come beside them and show them Christ's love.
Mm, yes. Just like when a baby's born and you bring over casseroles and you find out what it is that the parents need, this is another time when an adult child very much could use the help of their brothers and sisters in Christ.
I think it's wise to speak up and say, this is overwhelming for me. I need you to pray with me. I need you to come beside me. Could you visit my parent? Could you help with the grass? We're not so good at asking for help, but
mm-hmm.
we need to be neighbors one to another. I'm terrible at asking for help. But at least if you start out and say, this is what's going on, some people will come forward and help and tell their stories about what's going on. We had a woman in our church who had ailing grandparents. There weren't financial resources in this home. But there were probably 24 people in this extended family, and they got a schedule, and they rotated mm-hmm. through the schedule. And those grandparents were able to pass away in their own home, and there wasn't a financial burden. That's a beautiful illustration, and it's very uncommon for anyone to have that many people in their
mm-hmm.
home.
Sure.
But that's what they did, and they shared the load.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes the person doing the caregiving doesn't really have the bandwidth, you know, the capacity at the moment to break things down into the jobs that they could parcel out. But people with experience, people like you, other people that are in their church and in their friend group who have been through it, can do things like, yes, maybe it's not direct care of the parent, but it is mowing the lawn or taking care of the car or something that is just too much right now for the adult child who's focusing on the parent.
I agree with everything you
yeah,
said there.
Yeah, the wisdom.
Absolutely.
The wisdom of experience can also feed in for the caregiver about, how can you help me? How can you help me? Well, you know, tell me how you can help me. Well, thank you, Cindy. Thank you for your wisdom and your tenderness in writing this and for taking the time to talk to me here on Inside Out.
Well, it's a privilege for me too. Thank you.
My guest has been author Cynthia Fisher. You'll find her blog at faithpassing.org. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.